Have you ever wondered why some Christians have so many special encounters with God? People would tell you that God has spoken to them, God had protected them, God had provided for them, God healed them, He opened a way when there was no way, He is powerful, He is near, He is good, and they can feel His presence every day wherever they go. Does that bother you? Does that ever make you wonder, how come I've never had those experiences? You visit a Christian website or a Facebook page, you read a Christian magazine, there are tons and tons of testimonies. I just picked up some random magazines at the office. This guy has met God, and so has this girl, and so has this woman as well. You open the Bible. You read the story of Abraham, Moses, and Samuel. Stories that you have heard so many times. Samuel, Samuel. God would whisper to the little boy, sleeping in his cute little bed in the middle of the night. And Samuel would say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Growing up at church, we've heard those stories over and over again. We used to take them at face value. Until one day we grow up and we realize that they have no bearing on our daily life. At church, in our family, at school, in our world, there is no miracle, no vision, no dream, no special revelation, not even a warm and fuzzy feeling about God. There's just nothing, flat. We are not saying that people are lying or that the Bible is not true. We are just confused. Did I not come to church? Did I not read the Bible? Did I not pray? What is wrong with me? Does God even like me? Or am I born with some kind of defect that somehow prevents me from connecting with God? It is unsettling, especially if we call ourselves Christians. Every now and then, we wonder why we would still come to church on Sunday. Standing through the praise time, sitting through the sermon, going through the rituals. You know what the worst part is? We serve. What exactly are we doing if we can't even feel anything there? Secretly, we ask ourselves, will this Sunday be the last Sunday I come to church? If this is where you are, if this is how you feel, knowing a lot about God, but not knowing Him personally at all, will you give us 4 more Sundays? Okay, I'm not promising you that after 4 sermons you will have a marvelous experience with God. I can't promise you that. And Pastor Joshua is preaching the last sermon, so all the pressure is on him. I just want to, in the first part of the sermon, I just want to struggle through it with you, because I've gone through the same struggle myself. My hope is that this 4-week, this journey will be one that gives us a chance to remove some of the blockages, that may have hindered our ability to experience God. Our hope is that we can all get unstuck, we can be back on our feet, and we can resume a lifelong journey of following Jesus. So let me kick off this sermon by asking you just a few questions. You don't have to answer me, okay? Just go through the questions in your mind. If you want to write them down, you're welcome to. So we'll just go through them one by one. First question, do you want to experience God? Okay, do you want to experience God? I know it sounds like a no-brainer. Of course, we want to experience. Why wouldn't any Christian want a genuine encounter with God? Of course we do. So my next question is, how desperate are you? How desperate are you? Are you very desperate?
moderately desperate, just a little desperate. See, if you resent coming to church on Sunday, if it weren't your parents, if it weren't your spouse or your friends insisting that you should come, you probably won't be here right now. On the one hand, you feel kind of stuck. On the other hand, though, you want to know that you believe is true, that the Bible is true, that your childhood faith is true. You want to experience Him this week. So my next question is, what have you done about it? When people are desperate, they do things, okay? Be it rational, be it irrational, they do things. Whatever it takes to remove, to get out of that predicament, right? So what have you done about it? Some of you may push back a little bit and say, what have I done about it? The real question is, what can I do about it? I am a human being, okay? And He is God. So if I want to experience Him, shouldn't He be the one to show up at my doorstep? Well, that's a fair question. And my answer is, it takes two persons to create a meaningful and a memorable experience. So let me ask you, have you sought Him? By that I mean really seek Him, going after Him with all your heart. If that sounds a little vague, let me be a little specific. Do you pray? Of course I pray. I'm a Christian. I pray a lot. What do you pray about? Oh, you know, the usual stuff, like the weather, like finding a parking spot closest to the mall entrance. I want a safe vacation. I want a passing grade on the paper that I submitted late. I pray that I will find a decent job working 30 hours per week and still pays me enough to buy my own place. That kind of prayer. Okay. So what do you expect to happen? Well, not much these days. Not much happened these days. No, I mean, what do you expect to see when you pray? Oh, the sun, a parking spot, a nice vacation in Hawaii, enjoy a good time with my friends, and I would settle for a townhouse. A townhouse would be good enough for me. So in other words, we expect a wizard to show up when we pray. So we rub the lamp, swoosh, out comes a genie to solve our problems. Is that what we mean to experience God? How then are our prayers different from the prayers of the Gentiles, the unbelievers, the unchurched, people who worship other gods? You know, that's the question that Jesus had raised to His disciples. Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? What house should we live in? What car shall we drive? For the Gentiles seek after these things. That's how they pray. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So in one verse, Jesus taught His disciples the fundamental posture necessary to experience God. And the posture includes an action and a goal. An action and a goal. The action is to seek, to go after, to pursue. And the goal is, the object being sought after is the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Both words here are synonymous. His kingdom. What is His kingdom? His kingdom is the realm where God reigns supremely. And this seeking of the kingdom must precede everything else. Jesus was telling his disciples, if you seek God with all your heart above everything else, to have him rule supremely in your life, in your home, in your relationship, at church, you will get all the things you need. The joy, of course, is not in the things that you get. The joy is in the relationship in which these things are given. In the relationship within which these things are given. Your Heavenly Father knows you, and he will provide for you. So if you are frustrated that you have never had a first-hand experience with God, may I offer you a new posture, a different posture this morning. Instead of grumbling, instead of waiting passively, instead of listening to people telling you things that you already know about God, why don't you try to seek him with all your heart and have him rule supremely in your life? That's the posture that will lead you to experience God at a new level. Have you ever seek God for no other reason than to be with him, to know him, to honor him, to love him, and to obey him? You see, the good news that Jesus brought us is this: ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And he illustrates this using an analogy. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a serpent instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? I mean, that's not even a hard question. That's just common sense. If you then, who are evil, evil as you are, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit, the best gift ever, to those who ask him? The biggest reward that God wants to give his children is he himself. He is so ready to offer his own presence. That's what the Holy Spirit is about, his own presence. He's so ready to offer his own presence to those who come to seek him. He's just waiting to be asked. Have you ever sought God for no other reason than to be with him, to know him, to honor him, to love him, and to obey him? And have you ever been surprised by how ready God actually is to meet us and be with us? One of the most beautiful stories that I've ever heard comes from the Bible, from the book of John. It's the story of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. The story happened after Jesus had been crucified. He was killed by the Jews. Mary was there the whole time. She saw Jesus breathe his last breath, and her heart was crushed the moment she saw the Roman soldier pierce her Lord with the spear. He was already gone by then. And two of his disciples took down his body. They processed it. They wrap it, they bound it in linen cloths according to Jewish custom, and they found a new tomb in a garden, so they laid the body in the tomb. Mary was at the tomb. She was crying and crying until it was too dark and she had to go. That was Friday. Now, on the first day of the week, on Sunday, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. First thing even before dawn, as soon as it's permitted to walk, because previously it was Passover, it was Sabbath, she came to the tomb. She saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She was shocked. As if things weren't bad enough, now someone had stolen Jesus' body. Who knows what people will do with it? So she ran immediately to Simon Peter and to John and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." So Peter and John ran to the tomb to check things out. And just as Mary had told them, the stone was rolled away. There was no body in the tomb. And they went home puzzled. They couldn't figure it out. And Mary arrived a little later at the tomb and stood weeping outside. Jesus died. They buried him. And now his body was gone. The last thing she could have done for the Lord was to come to the tomb to give him a proper burial, to mourn for him. And this was now taken away from her. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken the Lord away, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "That's a funny question. Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him. I won't bother you. I will take him away myself." Jesus said to her, "Oh, Mary." She turned and immediately she knows. And she said, "Rabboni," meaning teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascended to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." So you can imagine how excited Mary Magdalene must have been. So she went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord. I have encountered the risen Lord. I've seen him with my own eyes and I've touched him with my own hands." It's by far the most beautiful story that I've ever read in the gospel. Sunday, just before dawn, when it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb for no other reason than to remember Jesus, to give him a proper burial, to honor him, and to mourn for him. She wasn't expecting Jesus to do anything for her. He was dead. All that remains was the corpse. Have you ever wondered? Have you ever thought about this? Why is it that when Jesus had resurrected, show himself not to the world, not to his enemies, not to the high priest who accused him, not to the Roman soldiers who mocked him, not to Pilate, the governor who crucified him? Why? Jesus did not show himself to the disciples either, like Peter or John or James. They were his favorite disciples, right? Why did Jesus first show himself to Mary Magdalene? Let's think about that for a moment. She was not his closest disciple. She wasn't there when Jesus walked on the water, right? Or calmed the storm, or raised the dead, or casted out demons. She wasn't his closest disciple. And she was a woman. That means her testimony could not be counted as trustworthy at court. She was basically a nobody. We don't know a lot about her. She was an ordinary Mary, just like you and I. Yet she was the first person whom Jesus had chosen to reveal himself after he was risen from the dead. Isn't this amazing? Don't you think this has something to do with the fact that she sought the Lord with all her heart? Perhaps Mary was the only person in the world at that particular moment who would still be seeking the Lord at his tomb for no other reason than to remember him, to love him, to honor him, to mourn for him. No wonder she was given the honor to be the first person to announce the good news of his resurrection. So my point is simply this. Jesus is ready to meet those who seek him with all their hearts. When you seek him for no other reason than to be with him, to know him, to honor, to love, to obey, will he not want to meet you where you are? Even at the tomb, as you were crying your heart out, yearning to see him, whatever the cost, will he not want to meet you? Does that make sense to you? The fundamental posture of experiencing God is this. There is the action to seek, to go after, to pursue. And there is the object. The object is not a thing, it's a person. The goal is to be with him, to know him, to honor him, to love him, and to obey him. To have him, in other words, to have him rule supremely over you wherever you are. To experience him as the king and the leader of your life. God is looking for seekers. He is ready to meet them where they are. So let me wrap this up with a promise from the book of Jeremiah. God said to his people, his broken people, his rebellious people, his yearning to come home people. This is what God said. There will be a time when you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I promise that I will be with you. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. So my invitation for you this morning is this. Do you want to experience God? How desperate are you? What will you do about it? Will you ask? Will you seek? Will you knock on the door? And if your answers are positive, I encourage you to do something about it this week. Change the way you pray. Change the way you pray. Instead of asking him for this and for that and for more of this and for more of that, why don't you ask him this? Lord, I want more of you in my life for the rest of my life. Will you come and meet me where I am this week? Will you try this prayer? Let's do it right now. Let's do it this morning. Please stand. Let's bow our head and pray. Lord, I feel discontent. I feel restless. I feel numb even sometimes. Nothing seems to satisfy anymore, because there is nothing that can satisfy me, I know, except you. So Lord, I'm asking you this. I want to have more of you in my life for the rest of my life. As I knock, will you please open the door and let me enter your presence? As I seek, will you please come and meet me where I am, just as you have promised? Lord, in Jesus' name, hear our prayer.
And I will run to you, to your words of truth, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Yes, I will run the race till I see your face. Lord, let me live in the glory of your grace. Is on this barrow, and your hands it comforts me. From the ends of the earth to the depth of my life, let your mercy and strength be seen. You call me to your as angels understand. For your glory, may you draw on man as your love and grace demand. And I will run to you, to the words of truth, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Yes, I will run the race till I see your face. Oh, let me live in the glory of your grace. You call me to your purpose, as angels understand. For your glory, may you draw on man as your love and grace demand. And I will run to you, yes, Lord, with the words of truth, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Yes, I will run the race till I see your face. Oh, let me live in the glory. Oh, let me live in the glory. Oh, let me live in the glory. Oh, let me live in the glory of your grace.
You are our desire, your glory, your presence, your love, your faithfulness, your goodness, your kindness, your never-changing love. We want more of you in our life.
Yes.
From today, for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated.